Just a little more time is all we're asking for. Just a little more time could open closing doors. Just a little uncertainty can bring it down. Nobody wants to show you how. So if your love comes on your own, you can never surrender. And if your life won't lead you home, you can never surrender. And when the night is cold and dark.
Good evening and welcome to another live podcast of the Never Give Up Show. I am Bailey Smith, your host. Today started November Family Court Awareness Month, and I hope to be doing as many shows this month as possible on what Family Court Awareness Month is about. I want to thank my guest for taking on the role of being my guest last minute. Last week, apologize to my listeners that we lost our guest in the middle of the show, but we did end up having a really good show in the end. And Megan Walsh, I hope that we will get you back on eventually in the near future. I want to remind everybody that this Thursday, November 2nd, we will be having a Zoom vigil for Narcus Bradley Golan. And again, I'll keep posting the Zoom information. So it's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I hope next week to have some people on that knew her very well. Anyway, let's get to tonight. First of all, our call-in number is 516-531-9643, 516-531-9643. You can always call in. If I come and ask who you are, you can just say, I want to stay silent and listen. Sometimes you get to listen to the full show if we go over time, if you call in versus if you listen on Blog Talk Radio /Friends Talk and the Never Give Up Show link. It cuts off after the 2 hours, but it does still record. Again, I also always upload the show onto my website. So it's on all the different links from Buzzsprout and on SoundCloud, and I do post that wherever I posted the show, so Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Okay, I'm going to introduce our guest. We have Cadence Harper. She is a 34-year-old, lifelong Virginia resident and a mom. Her case started in 1992 when she was just 4 years old until her parents divorced. Her mother was a narcissist, and her parents had a custody battle over her for years until she was emancipated at 17 years old. At 18, she joined the Army, but unfortunately was injured and a year later sent home. She got pregnant when she was just 20 years old. She lived with Stephen, her daughter's father, until she was 4, and then they broke up. She moved around a lot and ended up back living with her narcissist mom. In 2017, her mother filed false accusations of child abandonment against her in a county in which she never lived in. The guy who was her child's guardian in litem, Gal, helped her mother, which is very typical. They usually side with the bad people. She filed a complaint for conflict of interest, and of course the bar refused to investigate. After years of homelessness, she finally got out of the house, won custody back of this year. Congratulations. Melanie is doing well, and her dad is very much involved in her life. They have zero issues co-parenting, and that's amazing. She runs all the class action teams on Facebook. They are called Family Court Class Action, and I posted the link. And we actually met on Family Court Awareness Month Facebook page, and that's how we network, advocate, by meeting each other on all these different groups. Because we're all on the same page trying to bring a message to the public, support each other, and again, awareness. I am going to bring on our guest again, 516-531-9643. We'd love if you join us. And here is Kaden. Welcome.
Hi, how are you doing? I heard somebody in the background. I don't know who that was.
Really?
But anywho,
when I was speaking,
I don't know. I heard just a second ago. I just heard a man's voice. It's okay. It's all good.
There's no one here.
Yeah. You pretty much summed it up pretty well. The custody battle started when I was about 4 years old in '92, and the lawyer who was representing my dad is now representing me. It's bizarre. And like I said, the guardian ad litem that used to be my own guardian, he is now representing my daughter. And ever since I was a kid, he's always sided with my mother and didn't really seem to mind what was in my best interest as a child, and seems to show the same when it comes to my own daughter. But like you said, I filed a complaint with the state bar, and they refused to even investigate it.
Did you go to the center for judicial?
I've been on there. I haven't done a whole lot with my own case here lately, except, you know, obviously get custody back, and that's been going really well. I'm not too terribly concerned about anybody changing anything, especially with what I've been doing in my own community as far as advocating for families that are local. And I've been talking to multiple families across Virginia, and several of them have actually been to my house, and we've gone over how to file certain motions, how to present yourself in court, you know, kind of come up with like a little script for them, give them a little bit more confidence in handling their case. And, of course, teaching them how to recognize when their lawyer or their judge is being unethical so that we can call them out on it and get that fixed. We're not really out looking for blood. We just want people to do the right thing when it comes to family court. And it's been difficult, and I've received a lot of backlash from locals. A lot of people called me crazy there for a good while. Now they don't call me crazy so much. They're kind of themselves.
They call you for help.
Yeah, that's exactly how it is. Now they're all calling me for help, and I'm happy to help any way I can. But I do work full time. I own a business called Farm Fairy, and I take care of horses and livestock and, you know, property and stuff like that for a living. In addition to being a mom.
Right.
So I'm absolutely slammed, but you know, it's interesting the phone calls and messages that I get day after day. It's intense. It's overwhelming at times, but I honestly can't see myself doing anything else other than what I've been doing with these groups and with the knowledge that I've come across. I want to share it with people.
So your mom is still trying to get your daughter, or you got her back fully?
I've got her back. We go back to court in February, but the odds of the judge changing anything about the current situation and the current order is slim to none. You got to think, we've got two biological parents who get along just fine, who have worked out their own visitation schedule and child support and all that stuff. Like, we don't need the court's interference. Like, we got this. It's all good. The only reason we're in court is because of my mother. It's like a hobby of hers.
But she has no rights to your child. So why
you would
are
think.
They even? Right.
You would think.
Right. There's no rhyme or reason.
And
so,
you know, it
yeah, go on.
Really messed me up. No, carry on. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, let's go back to your childhood, what it was like for you, because your daughter is the same age as you were when it all started.
Oh, no, I was
right?
I was 4 years old. I was 4 years old when my parents got divorced. I have very little memory of my parents being together, if at all. I've been doing shadow work like crazy, but I can't seem to go back that far in time to see if there's
right.
anything back there worth back on.
But what was it like? Yeah, go on.
Oh, it was pretty bad. It was a pretty classic case of Stockholm syndrome, typical narcissistic family dynamic. My mother being the head narcissist, my brother being the golden child, and me being the scapegoat. I was just kind of blamed for everything and was never good enough. And yeah, it's fine. Fine now.
So your dad, they were a team or they were not a team?
No.
My dad
had nothing to do with my mother except for fight for me and my brother in court. And he tried the whole time I was a kid, from the age of 4 to 17. He fought. He did his best. He spent probably over $100,000 for lawyer fees and everything else involved with the court. And due to some pretty severe parental alienation, as most call it, terrified of my dad because I was so young, my mother was able to basically brainwash me into believing that my dad was abusive. She planted all kinds of memories and like told me stories of like all these horrible things that he used to do and that he was an alcoholic and all this other stuff. And I believed that up until I was about 13, 14 years old. And that was when my dad actually won temporary custody of me and my brother. So I went to go live with my dad, being absolutely terrified of this guy because I hadn't gone on visitation with him in years and didn't have a relationship with him. He was basically a stranger. But come to find out, my dad is not abusive. He's actually the human equivalent of a golden retriever, just the nicest mm-hmm. guy you've ever met. He's everybody's best friend. If your car's broke down on the side of the road, he's the guy that's going to, you know, pull over and fix it for you, like right there. He's that guy. He's amazing. I love my dad. And because I love my dad, my mother hates me because that to her
right.
is the ultimate betrayal because I'm going
right.
against her narrative, against her reality, against her shared persecutory delusion.
Right. Right.
So she has been retaliating pretty much ever since. And as you know, with narcissists, they like to do the whole Hoover tactic where they bring you
yep.
back in,
yep.
making you think that everything's going to be okay again. And then guess what? You're getting the crap beat out of you or you're being berated and everything else. And just psychologically abused. And that's
yep.
much what happened to me.
And your brother stayed with her?
Oh, yeah. My brother and my mother are very close. If I'm not mistaken, I think she's, like, partially moved in with him. So, good for
he doesn't
them.
Have a relationship with your father.
No, as far as I know, he hasn't spoken to my father in over a year. And he and I don't speak. We are not friendly. I prefer to be estranged from that side of the family because of the toxicity, gaslighting, and all of that. It's awful. They're people I don't want to talk to.
Right.
Yeah. It's good to burn some bridges every now and then.
So
grateful to have my family now.
So, okay. How did you manage to get emancipated at 17? That's not easy.
It was a lot easier for me than I think it should have been. But then again, the judge who I went and saw, his name was Judge Dudley Payne, and he was fantastic. Just as a human being and as a judge, like, I've never met a judge that I've ever respected more than that man right there. When I filed to be emancipated, he remembered my case. Like, he had sat in on several hearings having to do with my parents, and he understood how important it was for me to get the heck out of there, period. Like, I didn't want anything to do with the court system anymore. I was 17. I was getting ready to get out of high school and, you know, try to do something with my life. That ended up going the way it goes. But he turned me loose, and he let me go. And I didn't have to go to court anymore. That stuff. My parents couldn't fight over me. It wasn't an issue. I moved in with my dad and finished up high school as much as I could possibly tolerate, and then got my GED and left.
Right.
There's a lot of
her control over you.
And so she has been pretty awful ever since. And like I said, when my daughter was about 4, me and her dad split up. And we had our own custody battle, because you got to think, I didn't know any better. So when we split up, the first thing I thought was, oh, we've got to go establish custody and child support and stuff like that. And what do? You go to court for it. I grew up thinking that was a requirement. So I really didn't know any better. So we go to court and we do all this. We didn't agree with what the judge said. So we just kind of did our own thing and, you know, just never went back to court. That was in Culpeper County,
Virginia.
Well,
all you have to do is go to mediation.
Right, but that wasn't really an option. They didn't want us to do, that wasn't really an option then. It wasn't offered to us. And like I said, I didn't know any better, and Melanie's dad didn't know any better. And that's just the route that we went, and it sucked. And it was kind of toxic there for a minute, but we've resolved pretty much all of it. Like, we're good now. We don't have issues with each other. It's fine. It was difficult there for a couple months. And then, like I said, we didn't really agree with what the judge said. I didn't see it as fair. He didn't see it as fair. So we were like, all right, well, screw this. We're just not even going to talk with the court anymore. And that was it.
Interesting, because down here in Florida, they make you go to mediation first before you go to...
I really don't remember if mediation was a thing. I don't believe it was. I don't believe mediation was part of it when we went, but that was a long time ago, and I was not okay back then. My central nervous system was still in survival mode, and I wasn't to really remember everything that was going on. It was kind of autopilot. Just getting through it. So a lot of the memory is still very fuzzy, and it's not something that I visit very often when I'm meditating or something like that. It's a difficult time, so it's easier to just let that go. It's part of why I don't talk about my own case very often.
Have you had
my
therapy?
Lots and lots of therapy. Here lately. Last few years, it's been healthier for me to just kind of, like, I hate to say it, but do it myself. Read the DSM-5, figure out exactly what happened and, like, what the pathologies are behind everything that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then research all of that and attachment style and shadow work and all these other, you know, things that people do to get through the healing process.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't had a real therapist for quite some time, but I do have a very excellent support system around here through my friends and family.
That's very important. So what made you move? Go on. What were you going to say?
I was going to say it's a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Friends
are
cheaper
than
therapy.
Free therapy. You can go to a shelter and they offer free therapy and free group therapy.
Well, I might have to look
just
into
FYI.
That.
That's where I got my start, and it saved my life. And
yeah.
6 years later, I have the same therapist.
Nice.
So
nice.
I'm blessed.
It's hard to build a strong rapport with a therapist. There is this one lady from my childhood. She moved to Colorado, but I still talk to her at least once a month. I'll call her up and we'll talk for a couple of hours and just catch up on everything that's going on. And because she was there during my childhood, she remembers a lot more than what I do. So it's interesting as an adult to go back and talk to her about everything that was going on and how my mother even had her fold. Narcissists, as you know, they're extremely manipulative and you never know. You never know what you're going to get with them until you learn the pattern, and then they become super predictable and aren't scary anymore.
Now imagine not realizing you're being programmed by a narcissist.
Yeah, it's awful.
I lived that way for 21 years.
God,
I had no idea I was an abused woman. Zero.
Most of us don't. And people don't talk about it as much. When they're talking about domestic violence, they seldom reference the emotional violence and abuse and the psychological
abuse. It's coming out because I mean, DSM-5 has the narcissistic personality disorder in there. It's a real diagnosis. You know, my abuser got it from his mother.
Yeah.
You know, it's genetic. Mm-hmm. Well, it can be genetic. It can be genetic. And it's also childhood trauma.
Mm-hmm.
That's never dealt with. So therapy is very, very important. I know for my children, you know, I'm very interested. If you live under my roof, you're in therapy.
yeah.
I don't care how old you are. Yeah. So, you know, everybody, it's at their own pace, at their own time, but everybody's in therapy. And it's going on 6 years since it all started. But so tell me why you moved in with your mom instead of your dad.
I didn't really have a choice at the time. My dad had a lot of his own stuff going on. It wasn't really an option to stay with him. So I kind of ran out of options and had to live with my mother for a short period of time before that became completely unbearable. Like I was getting stuff thrown at me. She was damaging my vehicle, going through my room when I wasn't. And keep in mind, I'm an adult with a child, and she's like just, there's no boundaries with that woman. She doesn't understand boundaries at all.
Right.
And it got to the point where, you know, my stuff was being destroyed. She was undermining me as a mother. She had already started trying to alienate my daughter from me. And keep in mind, my daughter was about six when I was living with her when all this went down. And like I said earlier, when me and my daughter's father had split up, we went to court a little bit. So we did have a case in Culpeper, but we hadn't been to Culpeper in a couple years by that point. And we hadn't had a new case open or anything like that. And we had been living in Fauquier for well over a year. I believe it was like 2 years. But
she was still in the other county?
Yeah, she was living in Fauquier County. Yeah, she was not in Culpeper. So I thought it was kind of weird how she went to Culpeper County Court to file for custody of my daughter. And she made sure that she told the judge, she told the clerk or whichever, that she didn't have an address for me. So I was never served. I never received a subpoena or summons, nothing. The only reason that I found out about it is because the day before, the guardian ad litem, same guy that I had when I was a kid, called me up and said, you know about the hearing tomorrow at 1 o'clock? Huh?
Is there only one guardian litem in that whole county?
No, there's a bunch of them, but for some reason he seemed really invested in the case.
I've watched cases like that where they just stay on a case for years and years and years because they want to make sure that...
Yeah, we're going on like 20, 25 years with this guy.
That's insane.
It's insane. Like, I should not have known him this long. Like, nah, dude, you're a scumbag.
Go away. Is he an attorney?
Yeah.
Because usually they're... Did you ever file anything against him? Oh, you did. You said you filed a conflict of interest.
Right. I filed a complaint with the state bar, and they flat out said, oh, there's no evidence to say it's a conflict of interest. It's two entirely separate cases. And I'm like, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's really not.
It's the same people involved.
Yeah.
Just now it's just another cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Another generation.
And I guess he just wanted to, like, hang out, and I don't know, maybe he felt like he was part of the family by then, so he'd just stick around. I don't really know what his thought process was.
Was your mom involved with him?
As far as, like, using him to hurt my dad and then using him to hurt me and my daughter? Yeah. Any other way, I don't know, nor do I want to. But here's another red
flag.
That's
usually what happens.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. great. I don't think that was ever a thing. I hope not. Ew. Oh, that's gross. Thanks for the visual there. That's horrible. I'm going to need therapy now, so I'm glad you gave me this tip.
I'm sorry. It's just I always wonder. I always try to think, because I do a lot of court watching. And when I watch these people, I try to understand, besides the money, why are they so invested? Why?
I don't know.
You know,
so
like,
weird.
And I try to figure out is, you know, especially, you know, do they hate, because I watch a lot of cases that are reverse of what your case was. So it's usually a father trying to get the custody of the kid, and usually there's pedophilia involved, and the father has the money. It's a whole, I call it an organization. It's a criminal kidnapping organization, and they all, you watch it, and it's like watching a horror movie. And, you know, some of these people just, you look at them and you see pure evil. But why are they so invested? Hold on. Why are they so invested in, sorry. Sorry. That was my son. I apologize. So basically, what was it in it for this man that for 20 something years he just, you know, had this need to just help your mom?
I don't know. I don't think there was ever any kind of physical attraction on either side over there. I mean, I don't think it was that. I think it's
just
money.
Was your mom paying him?
And I have no idea. I have no idea. I'm still trying to work out. Like I said, I don't really mess with my own case too much, except for like the little bits that I'm kind of chugging along at. But I've been so busy dealing with everybody else's cases, I haven't had too much time to put my own together. But I'm getting there. But
if there's still Zooming going on, you know, you reach out to faxcourtwatch.org, and we'll be there.
Heck yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, our courts don't really allow Zoom hearings because, you know, then they lose lose their dark, shadowy, secret place.
Right. But
they don't want people involved. Well, then
they're breaking the law, which they don't care. But
well, yeah.
It's against the law. If it's an open court, anybody's allowed to come. So you grab a bunch of women, put on your court watch badges, and I could send you one. You can make copies and make them into a badge.
Here's the thing is, it's a closed court. They don't allow anybody in there. They don't let nobody, not even the witnesses, until it's time for them to testify. They are definitely, and I've been in touch with about the matter, too.
You bring a copy of the law,
mm-hmm.
and you go in there, and you refuse to leave. They can't force you to leave. They can't. You know, we go on, the only time I've been locked out of a case on Zoom is when they broke out because there was minor and sexual abuse involved. And then the judge used that as an excuse not to let us back in. But
right.
we could file a complaint against that. Because
oh, yeah.
they have to. And if they don't, everybody should know you need to file complaints. There are forms online. I should have them in front of me so you can read off of them. But there are forms that you can find. I'll try to find the link, and then you look it up for your state. And say, look, we went to do court watching for this and this case. You give them the case number, and we were not allowed in. You know, until people start taking a stance and fighting back, we're not going to get change. There's not going to be a change in an $80 billion business. The only change is outing these people, outing the corruption, outing what we're seeing. Because if so many of that comes out, then you have no choice. They're going to have to start listening. You know,
yeah.
like all these protests that are happening the last couple of weeks in California.
Wild lately. I've been watching all across the country. I mean, I'm so impressed with these people that are out there making their songs. They got their loudspeakers. They're making
yeah.
all kinds of rocks, and they're doing it peacefully. And they're
yep.
doing it in
because
a way that...
We're peaceful people. We're not bad people. It's the bad people that are the problem.
Exactly.
You know, and, you know, I love it when I watch... There's one case I've been watching that court is so corrupt, the judges don't even care anymore. It's like... You know, they're not even embarrassed. And, you know, there's one judge that tries to be very friendly. And we've had a lot of court watchers in a couple of his cases. And, like, I'm talking about 10, 15 court watchers. And recently... he's like, and court watchers, do you have any questions? And we're not allowed to talk. We're on mute.
It's like, no, we're good. We're
I don't
watching.
Know if he was baiting us. But one of our founders in Florida, she opened up her mic and she's like, no, we're not allowed to say one word. We're here just to watch and observe. But it was
yep.
like, you know, like the first time I was on one of his cases, he was kind of shocked. We had a lot of people and some pretty famous people on. And he was like a little nervous. And then after that,
tell you what,
always very friendly
so
to us. I'm sorry?
I said court watching has become a real hobby of mine. Oh, my gosh.
It's exhausting. It's draining.
It's addictive.
You know, yeah, you know, sometimes it's frustrating because you want to open up your mouth. You want to, you know, you can't say a word. All you could do is take notes and file your notes with, you know, your team, and you can file a complaint
yeah.
on your own behalf.
Mm-hmm.
But
file a writ
you know,
of mandamus, lots of stuff.
Yeah, so you know, it's but sometimes you're watching such, it's like mind-boggling. And when I see women, you know, actually this judge was like, interesting. I find that all the women here in my courtroom go pro se, and the men all have a team of attorneys. And we're all laughing. We're all nodding our heads like, duh.
Yeah.
Don't you think there's something along those lines? Like, don't you realize that's the problem? Unbelievable.
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't matter, male or female, whether or not you have an attorney. Attorneys, for the most part, are trash. Let's be real.
Mm-hmm.
The Bar Association
mm-hmm.
is mm-hmm. pretty much garbage.
Yep.
The system is a dumpster fire.
Yep.
And we
yep.
can't rely on any attorney to accurately represent us and actually put our best interests first. They're more worried about their
yep.
wallets. That's why they charge $30,000 freaking dollars.
Yep.
It's insane. It's a racket. We all know about it. It's not a secret anymore.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
just like, when is something going to be done? And that's kind of why I created these groups.
And then you watch a case where you watch a couple of cases, and the same person is a guardian ad litem in one case, and an attorney on the other case.
Mhm. Well, I mean, they do that. It's so weird.
It's so weird. You get to watch them in different roles. It's like role playing. You know,
they're all actors, and
we're laughing, but it's not funny.
It's funny
because it's so sickening. It's so evil and
yeah.
so cruel, and all about. Sometimes I'm watching for 2 hours, and it's all this bobble gobble, whatever legal crap, and I'm like thinking to myself, we're here for the safety and the care of a child. You guys haven't even talked about that.
Yeah, because they don't really care. It's like, that's not what they're about. They're about that Title IV D&E stuff. That's their MO.
Yeah.
That's what they want. They're just there to make money.
Yeah. I know we have a case in Florida. I'm very close to the mother. And she went through, like, she's on her third or fourth set of attorneys. She had to go out of that jurisdiction, county, town. She had to get attorneys from hours away to get clean attorneys.
Right, right, because the good old boy system is still definitely a thing.
The ones she had before were all in cahoots.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
And she's the most incredible person. And when I talk to her, you know, it's just sad. It's very sad that these people have to live like that, and the children are suffering, and you know. So tell me how your daughter is doing. Is she handling? Is she aware of anything or?
She's aware, and she knows what I do with the groups. I'm actually standing right here looking for her tape. I don't know where I put it, baby girl. I really don't. I think I may have put it in here. I don't know. But anywho, she seems to be doing pretty well. You know, usual 13-year-old type stuff going on. But nothing we can't handle, I don't think.
Right.
Definitely have a better relationship than my mother and I ever did. Kiddo, I don't know where your tape is. I would look in your room. Oh, found it.
There we go.
Okay,
yay.
Found it. Yay, mom of the year.
So she has a good relationship with you and her father.
Uh-huh. Yep, we try to keep
and
things.
And your father's in her life.
Yes. Yes.
So it's really just the narcissist trying to still control you through your daughter.
Yeah, that's what it boils down to. It's bizarre. And the thing is like my mother, I don't know if you saw that, the screenshots that I share occasionally of stuff that she posts on Facebook stating.
I only,
like on,
if you tag me, I see it. If you tag me, I see it. Or if you send it to me in a message, I'll see it. Because I have so much stuff. I post so much stuff on my Facebook.
I feel you.
Because I'm constantly reposting stuff or
mm-hmm.
sharing stuff, other people's stuff, that,
yeah.
you know, it's very hard to look at other people's pages unless somebody tags me. So
I hear you.
Tag me. but I can imagine, because my narcissist, my abuser, narcissist, posted something recently, not too long ago, posted something based on a video, which I didn't see, but wrote something about, I'm so happily married. So happily married now. Boy, I wish I would have never married my ex. I was the main supply for 21 years.
I remember
years.
Seeing that. I remember
then,
seeing
and
that.
And then I wish I never had kids. And there are more kids, by the way. There are more kids other than my own. Yeah, you know, people were making all kinds of comments. But the reason why I posted it, because, you know, I just finished writing a book. I mean, it'll be out in January. And it's not just my story. It's a survivor's guide to leaving and how to escape a narcissist. So it's a learning book besides my story. And it's just, you know, I'm trying to show it's still going. This, you know, 6 years after separation and 4 years after divorce, 5 years, how old is it, 13, 14, 15, 16, 5 years after he left the state of Florida on probation, where he left our 18-year-old, but 13-year-old, and my other two kids, he left. Nobody asked you to leave. Your kids needed you. And I'm the bad one. And they're the bad ones. You know, it's like, you know, and now he can't come back. So, you know, it's like, you know, if you're so happy in your life, why do you have to write that kind of garbage?
That's what they do.
To write that about your kids. My kids don't see it. Somebody sent it to me. Okay? Because... whatever. It's not important why, but I only want to know if something's posted that puts me in danger. That I have to, you know, even though there's restraining orders and warrants, you know, obviously they don't care because they left the state on probation. There's violated restraining orders. Now there's two warrants. They don't care. Criminals are criminals. And and sociopaths and narcissists are not going to change. And they are who they are. I only want to know if there's a threat made to me. That's it. and so it could be reported. That's it. But it was kind of, I mean, like for a second, like I felt like a pinch, you know, to my heart for my kids, but they have nothing to do with him anymore. But I totally understand what you went through, because my oldest went through that the most, yeah, versus the other ones. So, you know, because he tried to go back and have a relationship with him and was sucked back in and all that. And the damage is really a long journey. It's painful to watch. Very painful to watch.
And the thing is a lot of people seem to forget it's really the kids that are suffering. It's the kids that are going to have to grow up and untangle their own childhoods.
Yes.
It's the kids that are going to grow up and educate themselves on all of this stuff. And then these parents, these narcissistic, sociopathic parents, all they want to do is whine and cry, oh, my kids won't talk to me. My kids won't come over for Christmas. Oh, woe is me. It's just another ploy to get attention. They just need that narcissistic supply. They have to have the spotlight on them all the time, the perpetual victim. They're so predictable.
Yeah.
And anybody that's experienced that and is, you know, educated on the topic, they can look at a Facebook post from a complete stranger and see the pattern of NPD and these other pathologies, like within just a simple Facebook post. You can see it if you know what you're looking for. And then you can use that knowledge to avoid those kinds of people. Like, you know, that block button, I'll tell you what, I love that thing.
I don't know if you saw my post where I wrote, you know, please, I don't know why it's so hard for people to hide their friends, keep their friendship list on private. I don't know why that's so hard, because I have a stalker out there. And other people have stalkers out there, or they need their stuff to stay private. And my page is my Facebook, I belong to groups, but I have people on there that try to stay under the radar, and I want to respect them as much as I want to respect myself. And I keep getting like friend requests, and we have like 20, 30 mutual friends. And I just realized today that it'll also show me that if they chose how many friends they have, that means that their friendship list is open and not private. So I will no longer accept any of those people. So because I get these, I'll accept someone because I look at who our mutual friends are, and they seem to be good people. Sometimes I'll send somebody and say, do you know who this is? Can I, you know, friend
them?
We do
that a lot.
You know. And then they're like, yeah, definitely. No, yeah, they're good people, whatever. And then I get these, hey, Bailey, private message. That's not professional.
Yeah.
I don't want messages from people unless they say, hey, you know what? I love your post. Thank you. I needed that today. I'd like to be a guest on your show. Great show. That's the only things I want to get. Or, again, an article or a post or something from one of my fellow advocates. I want those kind of messages. I don't want from a guy, hey, Bailey, or hey, you're pretty, or something like that. That means that they're not okay. They're not somebody I want to be friends with. So yesterday I put up a post and said,
And I was going to say, whenever I get one of those kinds of messages, I usually just tell them that they have to cash out me $50 to continue the conversation, and they usually go away.
That's good. Well, I have most of them that go to spam. Like a lot of them, that they're not my friends, and they go to spam. I don't even see them unless I go through my, I have to go through a whole channel to see. But if I accept them as friends, because I see we have so many mutual friends, but that means nothing. So yesterday I put up a post and I wrote, please, my fellow Facebook friends, please keep your Facebook friends private. If we have mutual friends, it's great. I don't mind that we see each other, and I don't mind mutual friends talking to me. But so, you know, one guy made a joke about being a stalker. I could be your stalker. Something stupid. I said, okay, goodbye, unfollow, unfriend. Yeah. And then somebody else made a stupid comment. Please, I need to vet these people out. And then today somebody requested a friendship, and I saw that they have a ton of, they have a lot of followers. And I said, I'm really sorry, I only accept people that don't have their friendship list open. And they're like, well, I'm an open book. It's okay, no worries. Well, if you're open book, you don't belong on my Facebook page like that. You know, it's like, so anybody out there that's requested my friendship and I don't accept it, it means we don't have mutual friends, or we have mutual friends, but your friend list is opened. And there's no need for that, because people don't have to see who your friends are. That's a narcissistic trait, to show that you have so many friends and who your friends are. And those kind of people are not the kind of people that are out there advocating or we're on the same page. Because my Facebook is also a very, it's also personal. So, right. You know, I have to be careful. But it's just like a whole new thing where I have to be careful, you know. And I was also, my Facebook was recreated recently. Somebody took my picture and started going to people, and I don't even know how. And that's the problem. That was why I realized there's an issue here. How are they getting a hold of my friends? And how are they getting a hold of various from different worlds? So, but those people thankfully sent me messages, and they already knew that they're my friend, or they reported them, but they let me know. Right. Those are the kinds of people that I want as my fellow advocate or my friends on social media. You know, not people that are going to call me, oh, hey, pretty, hey, Bailey, hey, hi, whatever. You know, so
right,
I know we went off the topic, but
that's all good. Okay, it sounded like you needed to get that out.
Well, whoever's listening already knows a lot of this stuff, because whoever is my friend on social media, I am an open book to them.
Absolutely.
I don't mind being an open book to them. So let's talk, we have plenty of time. Let's talk about all these different groups that you started.
All right. So back in early June, let's start a little bit sooner than that. Last year, around this time, it was right before Thanksgiving, I was held in contempt of court for non-payment of child support to my abusive mother, because the judge just doesn't understand how debtors' prisons work or something. So they came and they arrested me, and they took me to jail. I was supposed to be there for a year, and I ended up getting out in 6 days because some very, very important people in my life, I like to call them my fairy godparents, they went into court, and they were able to negotiate the cost of my body. Let me say that again. They were able to negotiate the cost of my body with the judge, and they got me on sale for a cool $6,000. And they were able to get me out of jail. Yeah, no, it's wild.
Okay.
It's absolutely wild.
Wait a minute. Your mother had she ever had was given custody of your daughter?
Oh, she won custody. We hadn't gotten to that part, but back in 2017, the judge in Culpepper, who I don't believe had jurisdiction over the case unless there was a joinder filed, which I don't think would have happened unless the guardian ad litem, who is also a foster parent, I'll throw that in there.
Oh, wow.
Unless he helped her with that. Yeah, I know. So I don't believe that the judge in Culpepper had any kind of jurisdiction over the case. But he did award my mother temporary custody right then and there at the hearing that I didn't
and
know about
based
until
on
the
what
day
evidence?
Before.
But
oh, just hearsay.
What?
There was none.
So no evidence.
There was none.
No evidence.
No. And because I didn't know about the hearing until, I don't know, maybe 16 hours prior, I didn't have any time
prepared.
To prepare. And I, no, not at all. And she did that on purpose. I knew that from the beginning. She did it on purpose. That was her goal, was to ambush
well,
me, catch me off guard,
custody?
And get away with it.
So how
up
long
until
did
August.
She... From 2017,
until August,
she had your daughter?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Because that same day that she won custody, she kicked me out of her house and forced me into homelessness. So I got to deal with that for several years.
Oh, wow.
And she made it very
okay,
difficult for me to have any kind of relationship with my daughter. Yeah, it was bad.
And you owed her child support and you didn't pay her. And
well, I was living in the back of a minivan at the time. So it was like, no, I can't really.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Isn't it incredible how somebody can be violent and abusive and stalk you and harass you and they get a lousy few months in jail and the rest of the year they're on probation? And that's real crimes. But
yeah.
You owe child support based on false or made up or just a judge making a really, really bad decision. And you got locked up for a year, right? You were given a year.
I was supposed to be there for a year.
Right.
I was supposed to be there for a year.
You were given a year. Right. And then you have to explain that body thing because that is, I've never heard before, and that's mind-boggling.
Yeah. because they labeled it as contempt of court, that's how they were able to, like, get the arrest warrant, the KPS and whatever. And, like, the cops, they were looking for me for a while. Like, the KPS went out October 3rd of last year. They didn't catch up with me until, like, November. I want to say it was, like, November 17th or something like that. So, like, I was technically on the run for a while, but I was home. I never hid. I just didn't turn myself in. And they ended up catching up with me outside of a place where I play music sometimes. And The cop was like, he was super nice. Like, he let me call all the people that I needed to call and be like, hey, yo, it's happening. Like, we prepared for it. We knew it was coming. So, like, I had all my ducks in a row. Like, I had the dogs taken care of. I had my work taken care of. All the messages, you know, who we need to call, how we get me out of there. So, you know, he let me make all those phone calls, and we had, like, a 45-minute conversation out there in the parking lot before he even put the handcuffs on me. Like,
because
he was cool.
He thought it was
like,
ridiculous.
I will give him that. He was a very nice cop. But he took me to jail, and they put me in a holding cell. And the next morning, they were like, all right, well, you need to come in and do medical so we can send you up to general population. And I was like, I'd really rather not. And they're like, what do you mean? I said, I'm refusing medical. And they're like, well, you can't go to GP. And I was like, well, that's fine. I'll just stay here in my private suite.
Right.
So I did. I sat in a holding cell for, yeah, I sat in my holding cell for 6 days with the lights on 24/7. And I didn't eat pretty much the entire time that I was there. My nervous system basically shut down. My body shut down. I slept. For most of it, between sleeping and meditating and disassociating as hard as I possibly could. You know, it took a few days. I was in there for 6 days, and then I had a hearing in front of the judge, and my fairy godparents were there, and they let me go because
Obviously, they did their research. They did their research.
They knew that they had to purge the bond. They had to purge the bond, and the judge was willing to negotiate.
So,
which is
weird. They negotiated based on your body, like on your own recognizance and what you're worth.
Oh no, it was the back child support that I owed. It was over a debt. It was a debtor's prison, which is totally illegal and unconstitutional. And yeah, believe me, I'm filing my own lawsuits. I'm going after Culpeper County because the judge acted outside of his jurisdiction. I'm filing a lawsuit against the guardian ad litem. I'm going against the judge in Fauquier County.
Did they come up with that amount based on your body?
No, based on the back child support that I owe. No, money that I owed. The money that I owed to my mother.
Oh, that you supposedly owed.
Yeah.
So did that go away?
Well, it has now because I have custody of my daughter. Me and her dad have both joint legal and physical custody, according to this temporary order that's in there right now. And my mother has no rights. She has no custody. She has no visitation. She has no rights at all.
You don't owe her that back pay anymore.
Oh, no. No, it's been paid off. It was paid off.
So you paid...
My fairy godparents
ended up
paid.
Paying it. Wow.
My fairy godparents.
Are you going to go after
and
her?
Now I'm, I might... I'm thinking about it. I would rather never see her again or hear from her or have anything to do with her for the rest of my existence on this planet. That would be the most healthy thing for me to do, is to leave her completely out of it. Because she doesn't deserve the attention. She doesn't.
Right.
And she doesn't deserve my time, my energy. She doesn't deserve my hatred.
Right.
I don't have time for that. I've got other things to do.
Right.
I've got my own life to live. I'm trying to heal. I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to be a better mom for my daughter to ensure that this kind of shit never happens to her. Pardon my French. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Oh,
it's my show. You can say whatever you want.
No, don't tell me that. I'm going to behave anyway. But yeah, I want to make sure that that kind of thing never happens again in my family lineage because it's been going on for a really long time. Like, my own grandmother adopted my uncle's daughter when she was really little and raised her as her own. So this is definitely a toxic family cycle, a generational, cross-generational.
Is that your father's mother?
No. This is all the bad stuff is on my mother's side. My dad's side of the family.
Okay.
I mean, they're all very
cool.
So
where did it? Where does it come from? Where does it originate from?
I believe it started with my grandmother, possibly with my great grandmother. I'm not really sure on everything that happened with her, and I don't want to speak ill of my Googie.
But.
I don't really know exactly how far back it goes. And because I don't really talk to anybody on that side of my family except for my cousin, who was raised as my aunt, because we like to keep stuff confusing in this family. Good Lord. She's really the only one I talk to on that side of the family. I do have an aunt who I occasionally speak with, but never about anything of any substance. Because I know that she talks to my other aunt who talks to my mother. And
that sounds like my abuser family. But
nobody
talks to him. But nobody talks to
him.
But nobody talks to him. But I don't trust them.
I don't blame you.
You know, even though they all hate him and are scared of him, I remember my oldest son when he was living with his father and came down here, he had a girlfriend, and they were supposedly going down to Florida to visit her family. And and he has a relative that lives in the community of my parents. And we were going to synagogue, and I had to go over to the aunt and say, please make sure that your husband doesn't say anything to his sister that my son is here, because somehow by mistake it'll get back, even though nobody talks to him. And if it gets back to the narcissist abuser, then my son won't be allowed to go back there. And at that time, his life was in New York. I mean, it was like all these years later, it's like, you know, it's still that crazy, you know, family stuff. And I saw her go over to him right then and there because she knew how crazy that family is, you know?
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's very sick. It's very sick and it's very sad. And, you know, we have to pray that we help our children who go through trauma or the family court or are taken from a protective parent, a healthy protective parent, and given to an abusive parent and
exactly.
Or a grandmother or whatever. And we have to make sure that they, you know, get away from it, get the help that they need so that we have a healthy next generation, or we have a future of children, a young adult. You know, they're our future.
Yep.
They're going to be our lawyers and our judges and our government. And, you know, this is the problem. We have such a horrific system going all the way up to government, all the way down to the police, and it's so corrupt.
Don't even get me started on them.
I know. Trust me, my story is all about them. Trust me. I warned them I was going to out them in my book. I warned them.
Yeah.
I gave them a heads
up,
and I can't wait. I can't
the
wait.
The sheriff around here is
book.
Not a family.
Yeah. I've watched so many systems within 5 mile radius just so broke, so, you know, I look, there may be good cops out there. I have seen one or two. But in the three different places that I dealt with, I've seen one or two. But I believe that they are narcissists and abusers, and that's they need that control and power, and that's why they become police.
Yeah,
and
I've noticed
unfortunately,
a lot of that.
What?
I've noticed a lot of that.
Right, and that's why people hate police. And it doesn't give people a right to kill police. That's not okay.
No.
And it doesn't give a right for police to murder people that are doing nothing wrong. You know, it's a two-way street. Like, you know, I have my concealed weapons license, and I haven't bought a gun yet, but I'm training. I'm going on 2 years. And my trainer always says to me, the only one that's going to protect you is you.
Yeah.
Don't rely on anybody to protect you.
No. At the end of the day, you're all you've got.
Yep. So
yeah.
I know that I interrupted you so many times. Let me give out
oh,
our
no,
number
it's
again.
Okay. It's okay. We're having fun, and I've got ADHD, so it's okay. I'm all over the place
minutes.
Anyhow.
516-531-9643 if you want to join in on our show tonight. I know it's late. people are tired at this hour. But Cadence is a great guest, smart, intelligent, helping people out there. And we're having a great conversation. If you want to join, 516-531-9643. So you went to jail. Your fairy god, whatever you call them, they bailed you out, and So how'd you manage to get your daughter back?
Well, I did that through. I just went through the courts, filed a motion for custody, and because we'd had an order to where Melanie was going to spend the entire summer with me and Steven, which is what happened. We had her all summer. And my mother decided to treat herself to a cross-country vacation.
Well, she had $6,000.
Well, of course. Yeah, it's kind of weird, isn't it? Driving a 2021 Hyundai, like, whatever. All right, we see you. while not working and being on disability. And yeah, just she's a wreck. You know, I wish her the best, but... I want nothing to do with that woman. No, hard pass. But anywho, yeah, so she was on vacation when this emergency custody motion was put in.
And you went to your local jurisdiction?
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's this...
So not to the other county where she got custody.
Right, no. Right. In 2017, after the judge gave her custody, he immediately transferred the case over to Fauquier, because I had then been homeless. Oh, yeah. Of course they know. Of course. Why wouldn't they? You know, they keep us in there long enough. They make more money off
of
us.
Well, he knew he was in trouble.
Yeah. And... like I said, I have every intention of holding every actor in this story accountable for what they did. And again, I'm not out looking for blood. I'm not looking to see people go to prison for life.
I'm looking to see them do community service. They need to pay because if they're doing it to you and your daughter, they're doing it to many, many others. And they have to be stopped.
I know.
And like I said, the only way to stop them. Right. So you went to your local jurisdiction and you filed emergency hearing motion.
My mother didn't show up. And the judge was like, well, what's going on? You know, where's grandma? And I was like, well, she's on vacation right now, and she's not going to be back until several weeks after school starts. So it kind of makes sense in the best interest of the child. You know, the child who belongs to me and her father, who are standing side by side in the courtroom, you know, like, what? I think it kind of makes sense, Your Honor, that Melanie just stays with us and we get out of here as soon as possible. Because we do not want your services. We do not want to be in a contract at the courts any longer.
We don't want to waste taxpayers' dollars.
Exactly. And we don't want to be used to generate revenue for you guys, because that's just screwed up. We don't want to be used for that. Nobody does, but that's exactly what the courts are doing. You know, we're all cash cows walking in there. It's a business. It's a circus. But,
so what he said.
So yeah, the judge. She ordered me and Steven to have custody, and took my mother completely off the paperwork. But said, look, you know, she has a right to a trial, you know, if she wants to try again. But for right now, she wasn't going to change custody.
If she wants to try again.
Oh,
you guys
absolutely.
Are the parents.
I know.
Oh my God.
I know. It's whack. It's so whack. So we go back to court in February. We'll see what happens. But I'm pretty confident that the judge is not going to be messing with me anymore. The last time I saw the guardian ad litem, which was in court, because I've been informing him of all the things that I'm doing with these groups and the advocacy and the media and all these other things that I've been working on, working with legislators, politicians all over the place. Like, I'm messing around in different states every day. It's wild. I've kept him very well informed.
Help us get Grayson's law passed here.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about this guy, Richard Midkiff. Have you heard that name yet?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so I just found out about him today. I'll probably be speaking with him later on this week. But he's down in Florida. He's a paralegal, became a law clerk while he was incarcerated for like 23 years or something like that.
Richard Mitt, what's his name, Mitt?
Midkiff, I think, M-I-D-K-I-F-F. I'll have to send you the links here in a little bit. But him and his law firm are interested in taking on the Florida Family Court Class Action Team and actually making that class action lawsuit a thing. And that was the intent of these groups, was just to be a way to gather like-minded people who have gone through the thing. They're pretty much done telling their stories. They want accountability. They want this stuff fixed.
So this is against who? Because I know there's one against DCF, which is CPS in most states, but down here it's DCF.
It's going to be difficult because the thing is that the court itself is an inanimate object, and I'll use this analogy for you. Like I said, for my work, for my job, I take care of horses, which means I go into these barns, and the horses have just crapped all over the place. All the stalls are dirty. They're gross. It's my job to go in there and get the shit out. So we have to not go after the barn. You have to go after the shit.
Right. I love
and,
it.
And that's kind of, I mean, hashtag muck it. You got to muck it. You got to get that stuff out of there. It's bad. It's not the barn itself. The barn's fine. You can take, the barn is okay. You just got to get the shit out. So that was the point of this group.
They want to go after the organization with inside the barn.
Yeah, you want to go after the individual piles. You have to go after the individual piles, which can be judges, lawyers, clerks, guardians, foster parents, whatever. You have to go against the piles. You got to get the piles out. There's nothing you can do about the barn. The barn's okay. So we have to target these individual piles of crap.
Now, they have bonds, by the way. Judges don't have 100% immunity. They have $200,000 bond.
Mm-hmm.
Same with
we're gonna
police,
take like all of that.
But you know that, right?
And
you know that they
the
have
police,
to have a they, I'm sorry?
Yeah. I said yes. They do have their bonds, and we're gonna take them for everything they're worth to make sure that they never practice
once you
again.
Take their reputation, once you take their reputation, you get them on the wall of shame. They're finished.
Uh-huh. Yep.
That's the whole idea of these shows and getting the public on board, because the public does not understand. I've been speaking to a lot of just plain, regular individual people who live in a bubble and live in a beautiful life, just like I thought I did, with no knowledge of what's going on in their next door's neighbor's home or what they have to go through. And they're shocked. They're shocked. And we have to unshock these people, or we have to shock them into realization that this is really happening. And the more people that understand what's going on, the more people are going to be on board when it comes to voting and all that kind of stuff. I mean, and help. I always say, this is my motto. It's awareness, education, and community. Yep. That's what that those three things are where we're going to get change.
Exactly.
Because that's where we're going to, like you said, this guy wants to go in there and clean up the shit and get rid of the shit. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, till he became aware of, for whatever he was in jail for, he's now coming out and he is doing, wants to do something good. How did he become a lawyer after being in jail for so long?
He's not a lawyer. He's a paralegal.
Oh, he's a paralegal for his own law firm.
No, I don't think it's his. I don't believe it's his law firm. I think he works for another law firm. But it's him and that law firm that are working together to try and help y'all out down there in Florida. And we
who
may
is
have,
he in touch with down here in Florida? Do you know?
Like I said, I just found out about him today, and I was getting ready to send him to you. I did text him a link to this podcast, so I don't know if he was able to get it and, like, get in and listen. I don't know if he's here. If you're here, chime in. We'd love to talk to you real quick.
I don't. Nobody's called in yet.
Okay, cool beans.
Was that the person that was asking for me to make this public? That was somebody else. That was Timothy.
No. That's my buddy Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been a longtime friend of mine, and he's been following the stuff I've been doing over the last 13 years.
Wow, you're incredible. You know, what amazes me is when I see moms or dads that are going through their own pain and their own darkness and their own hell, okay, and horror. And they're still able to go out there and help others. And I see it with many of our fellow advocates. Sometimes they have to take a step back. It's a little too much at moments. Even sometimes, like my therapist says to me, sometimes you're much better at macro
mm-hmm.
versus micro. Because I get very involved with one person at times. And I get too involved. And then I start to have triggers and stuff like that. I'm better at my show and writing a book and dealing on with groups and grander scales. Because, like I said, I'm extremely empathetic. And I feel the pain to my core. So, I mean, I'm not going to give up helping people one-on-one, but I have to know my boundaries, you know. So, you know, that's, you know, sometimes, but my point was not about me. My point was about these people and yourself. When you're still dealing with all this garbage, because I know what depression is and I know what dark place can be like. And I could have never, a couple of years ago, never be doing what I'm doing now. I had to really get healthy. Until I was able to go out there and start my advocating. So, you know.
Yeah, you've really got
to
be in a good mind for this.
Yeah. And, you know, we have so many people that are out there. Stacy from New York. I'm sure you see her posting
mm-hmm.
stuff. She's got three different groups. Actually, her friend Sandra was just here in Florida. We posted a picture together. They're incredible. They're both going through their own crap, and they're out there going to court watches and helping people file motions. They're helping Lizzie in jail. You know the
mm-hmm.
whole Lizzie story.
Oh, yeah, that's wild.
And you want to hear you want to know how I came in contact with that story? It's insane. I saw the clip that Blaise Gomez, the reporter who reports half stories,
mm-hmm.
you know, that first video that was posted July 4th weekend. And I did not follow through with the story. I saw it and I just reached out a couple of weeks later to Lizzie. She has Lizzie's Army on Facebook. I sent the message and her phone number, and I sent the text, hey, I'd love to have you on my show. I had no idea she was still in jail. And then one of her friends was given her phone and her purse by the attorneys her husband hired. And she saw my message, and she reached out to me. And at first, I had no idea what. I didn't remember that I texted her, and she's like, this is Lizzie's friend. She'd love to do your show from jail. I'm like, what? And in the end, I ended up getting into touch with Stacy, and I said, oh my God, this woman fell into my lap. God is handing me a person I have to try and help. Now, I can't help her one-on-one. There's so much behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. I can help bring out her story, and I can keep posting her story and what's going on. I mean, now she's in a psych ward against, you know, everything's against her rights. Everything's done illegally. And eventually they'll have to let her go, because you can't keep somebody locked up based on lies and for no reason. You're using taxpayer dollars. So, but I spoke to her, and she was on my show 2 weeks ago by accident, because I had Megan Walsh on, and then somebody hacked her phone or something, and she couldn't get back on. So Stacy got Lizzie on from the psych ward. So it was nice to hear her voice, and she sounds perfectly normal for her. And whoever's posting her calls every day is showing the public that this woman is perfectly normal and sane and in her right mind. But, you know, sometimes things fall in our lap for a reason. You know, and I just felt like it was the most bizarre thing that I didn't follow through, realize she was still in jail, and sent her a message, and somebody got it and reached out to me. So, you know, everybody comes into your life for a reason.
That's true.
So let's go back to your groups. Let's go one by one. Tell me more about them.
All right, so it actually started just with Virginia Family Court Class Action Team, and that was I started that group shortly after I got out of jail last year. It didn't really do a whole lot, but then it started getting a couple members, and we started getting some conversations going, and I got more active in all these other groups. I probably belong to well over 200 groups right now, and it is insane.
Oh, my God. It would drive me crazy.
Just how bad it is. Oh, it is very overwhelming at times. Luckily, I can read very fast. And because of these groups, I've been able to meet people across the country. So when I see something where it's like, oh, this person is in Colorado, or this person's in California, I know a contact over in that state that I can send them to. But I also send them to the individual state's class action team groups. And those are basically an organizational tool. So we've got the main group, the USA Family Court Class Action Team, and that's where I do the majority of my posting. That's where we get most of our news articles, things that are going on in courthouses across the country. We're following, like, Disruptive Media Texas. We love those guys. A bunch of different podcasts, video, like YouTube channels, Rumble channels. We post as much information out there as we can. Whenever I come across a state-specific article, because I'm the creator of all the groups, I'm able to just go ahead and plug it into that group. And that way
That's awesome.
That state can see what's going on. And with all these people within their state groups organizing together by county, doing their own Zoom meetings and, you know, chat messages, whatever it is that they're doing to organize within their own state, because it's like, I can't possibly manage all of this. There's no way.
No.
Like,
right.
I'm not qualified at all. I have no experience doing any of this. I am straight winging it. But so far, it seems to be kind of helping. So I'm happy. And so far, all the groups, we haven't really had any issues with people going in there and being jerks. And, you know, I had one incident, like, last week. I had to call everybody out, and I was like, look, we're not going to act like that in here. You're not going
right.
to do that. You're not going to get all political. You're not going to get all, you know, uppity about your religion. I don't care what people believe in. Do not impose it on
right.
everybody else. It's,
right.
You know, that's everybody else's decision, not yours.
Right.
You know, people that want to get off topic and start talking about, like, you know, abortion or the transgender issue or all
right.
these other things.
Right.
Where
right.
Like, that's not why we're here, guys.
I had to stop. I had to stop being political because a lot of the people I'm involved in, we're not on the same page on certain things. And
right.
we're each allowed to believe in what we believe in. And people can't tell us not to, why we, look, I'm not on the same page right now with my mother with a lot of things because I see what goes on inside legislation. And
yeah.
I watched last year, so much horrific stuff. It was an eye opener. I was so naive. And not to say I'm going to change, you know, my, you know, who I am, what I am, or what, or anything, but, you know, so far I haven't been voting. Let's just say that.
It'd be different
everybody.
If somebody were voting.
What?
I said it would be
sorry,
different if they gave us somebody worth voting for.
Yeah, you know, right now, you know, I'm worried about, I'm concerned for my own state because I see what's going on and I want to see somebody that is serious about making change to bringing justice and caring about our kids and the safety of our kids and protecting our kids. That's my concern. And unfortunately, it's all about money and who's going to pay the campaign bills and who's going to, you know, and it's very, very disappointing. But we're not going to be political right now. So I stopped posting anything political on my page and I shy away from it because, you know, I believe what I believe. And I don't think people should tell me what I should believe. That's all. I'm seeing things from the inside. As
yeah.
before, I was naive to it. So, you know, people, that's what we need to expose, what's going on in the inside, so people see. Because until
right.
you
and
see
I,
it,
and I'll tell
it's
you
very
what,
hard
I,
to believe.
Yeah, but once you see it, you can't unsee it. But
right.
What
exactly.
I will say, and I'm not going to get political, but what I will say is I've noticed the libertarian candidates, they have been the easiest group to connect with and talk with. They've been more willing to join these groups to see
mm-hmm.
what's actually going on. And there's several across the country. There's a guy in West Virginia who's really cool. His last name's Fane. He's doing a lot to help us up in West Virginia. So, I mean, I've always kind of leaned libertarian. I would prefer to not have anybody govern me personally.
Right.
I'm
right.
not saying I'm a total
I'm
anarchist,
you.
But it's
yeah.
like, get off my lawn. Like, go away.
Right.
Like, what?
Right.
What do you mean?
Right.
Personal property taxes.
Right. Get out of my business.
Like, go away. Nobody wants you
right.
here. You're like ants at a picnic. Like, the worst.
You're like, the shit I just cleaned up.
For real, dude. It's like, damn, same shit, different barn. It really is. It really is sometimes. It's wild.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
But I'll tell you what, you know, having a business called Farm Fairy, one of the things I get to get away with is being sparkly all the time. There is glitter everywhere. It's on everything I own. It's in my hair. It's on my face. It's everywhere. It's loaded down in my purse. So I leave a trail everywhere I go, including the
That's
courtroom.
That's so funny.
The sheriff's office. There is glitter all over the place. So, like, people
so
know
they,
the Farm Fairy has been
know,
in there.
Cadence was here. You made a present
yep.
and you left your mark.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is like, it's harmless. Like, I'm not leaving a pile of it. You know, it's just like a little sprinkling. And
I
it's
love
just
it.
It falls off of me. It just falls off. It's not like I'm intentionally dumping it on the floor.
Well, I hope if you have to go to court or any of these places this month, leave it blue. Like I did my nails. They're actually sparkly for Family Court Awareness Month.
We're doing blue this month? I got you. I got you, fam. I got tons of blue.
I got
like
my nails done blue. Last month they were purple for domestic violence.
Oh, I don't have any.
Oh, well. I every month I get them done for the color of the month, unless it's yellow or a weird color. But
I couldn't do yellow either.
I try to you know, that's my reminder. And I wear purple in my hair for domestic violence all year round. Actually, I have to go this week and get it redone because it's turning blue, but I don't want blue hair. It's very important. You're doing amazing work, and I want to learn. I'm going to research and learn more about it because it would be very good for more of our people to connect. You know, if you send me links, if you send me an email of links, because once I add my book to my website, I'm going to add a blog, and I'm going to start putting references, and it's going to take time, and it may not be in any specific order. I don't know how I'm going to do it, because I'm probably going to be doing the blog myself, but anytime I have a reference of something that can help people, I'm going to post it on there. So
okay, awesome.
Probably like your USA Family Court Class Action website is the overall one, right? And then underneath it, through that, you have the rest of them.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, I'm in every single one of them.
And wow, that's a lot to manage.
It is, and we don't have a whole lot of moderators, but the ones that we do have, oh my goodness, they are fantastic. There's a few people across the country that have stepped up and been like, hey, you know, I'm going to go ahead and join all these groups and help you moderate and admin this stuff and like, help manage, and I'm just... Oh, my God. Because I didn't ask anybody for help. They just showed up, and I'm like, all right, yeah, that'd be cool.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
That's awesome.
That's the whole point of this, is everybody being a team. That's the whole point.
It's a family. It's a family.
Yeah. You know, I'm not sure if you know Melissa Toon.
The name sounds familiar.
So she has a page. I forgot what it's called. Post-separation abuse, I don't remember. And one day, all of a sudden, I'm getting all these messages. She made me an admin to bring, you know, to approve people. And I couldn't reach her. Her phone was disconnected, and I got so worried. I hadn't spoken to her in a while. She had been in jail. She's also going through crazy stuff, but she's a great girl. And like, she's got a lot of followers. And there's like 120 people. I'm like, I can't go through this stuff. I don't have time to vet out people. You know, it's a lot of work. It's time consuming. And then I said, I finally reached him, like, you made me an admin and you never told me. She goes, no, I'm sorry. I didn't have time. But,
I'm telling you, it does suck your time away. I spend upwards of 5 hours a day on the phone, usually talking to somebody from God knows where. They come from all over. It's wild.
Right. So I'm doing that thing, court watches and trainings. And, you know, I was up until recently, you know, writing with my writer. So sitting on my ass all day, other than going to the gym and walking, and carpooling and doing all the other mom stuff, you know, getting on the phone sometimes I just don't have the energy.
Yeah.
So I guess for you, it's, you know, when you're with horses all day and you don't have who to talk to, it's better, you don't mind, it's easier to sit on the phone afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, usually when people call me, I'm actually at work. So I end up having a conversation while I'm cleaning stalls or leading horses in. So it is all day, every day. I do have to turn my phone on Do Not Disturb around 10 o'clock at night because my phone will ring at, you know, up till 3 or 4 in the morning. And I'm just like, I open up Facebook first thing in the morning and there's 60 notifications.
We all do.
I'm like, holy crap.
I know.
Oh my God. It's wild. But like I said, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
A lot of it's rewarding. A lot of it, when we can help someone, it's very rewarding, especially when you watch it play out, and you still have to deal with your narcissist abuser, you know, that's weighing, I'm sure it's a little bit weighing over you.
It's,
right?
You know, out of sight, out of mind.
I honestly don't think
about my own case a whole lot. I don't think about my mother. She doesn't call me. She doesn't show up here. I don't have to deal with her. So it really is out of sight, out of mind. That way I'm able to focus on everybody else's cases while still working on my own. And don't even get me going on the jury trial that I've got going on in December. That's a whole nother thing. That's not family court, but traffic court, because they mess with the wrong one.
Well, I may have one of those too, but I'm the defendant. I wasn't the one at fault. I'm suing. What am I called?
The plaintiff.
Plaintiff, yeah. I hope it doesn't get to that point, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I got pulled over for something stupid. The cop didn't, you know, actually find the evidence to prove me guilty of what he accused me of. General District Court didn't really care what the truth was.
Did
they wear
cameras? Do they wear cameras?
No, they don't. They don't. I know. It's weird.
One county down here. They were given $2 million, I think. I believe. Maybe I'm wrong, but they were given a lot of money. The county that I had the biggest issues with. They're the only ones in the surrounding areas that don't refuse to buy them.
Yeah.
What does that show you?
Any sheriff's department or police department that refuses to put on body cameras, that's an automatic red flag.
That's when they're giving them money to do it.
It
should be state mandated. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've seen good come out of it.
Yep. Yep. There's a lot of really good body cam videos out there. There's a lot of really bad ones.
But thank goodness we have the bad ones so we can go. They don't have the dash cams either?
They do. They do have the dash cams, but they don't have body cams.
But they don't.
Not around here.
And did you record it? Did you record what happened?
Oh no, I didn't have to. I didn't have time. But the thing is in criminal court with criminal procedure, you have to prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. You have to have clear and convincing evidence.
Right.
The way that the statute is written and the part of it that he charged me with violating, there's no way in heck that he would have gotten, you know, the correct evidence or any evidence at all in order to prosecute me on that. And I'm surprised the prosecutor hasn't convinced him to drop this thing because
they love putting women in jail.
Well, they can't put me in jail for this. That's what
I know, but that's
what
they love. But they love putting women in jail. I've been watching it happen.
Oh yeah,
even
they do.
Or try to.
There's no possible way. There's no possible way they can put me in jail for this. I mean, this is over farm use tags. Like I said, it is the stupidest traffic infraction ever. And the guy doesn't have any evidence. He can't prove me guilty. There's no way. So I decided, screw it, I'm going to appeal. I'm going to go to circuit court, and I'm going to request a full jury. I want a trial by jury. I don't want to be, you know, dealing with these crappy judges. I'd rather have a jury of my peers that are actually going to see that I'm correct in the eyes of the law, and that this cop screwed up, and that the judge before screwed up, and that this judge sitting here better do the right thing, or he's going to be in all kinds of trouble, because then I got to take it up to the next court. Because I will appeal until it's a big headache.
Oh, they'll probably end up having to judge.
They're probably
going to
dismiss it before I even get
there. Yeah, that's what happened.
They'll probably dismiss it before it happens, which is great.
Right.
It still means I win.
Do you have a public defender?
Oh, no. No, I'm doing this pro se.
Because you have to, request the evidence. And if they can't give you the evidence, there's no case.
I know. I did.
And you haven't received anything.
No, not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like all I hear is circus music in my head. That's all it is. You walk in there and it's just like, this is a joke. This is just a big, sad joke.
And there's so much really bad stuff going on, and this is what they're putting their money in. This is what taxpayers' money is going.
Yep, and that is part of the point that I am going to make. That is part of the point I will make for the jury if it comes down to that. It really is a waste of time.
Because they
and
have
resources.
To give you the evidence. They have to give you the evidence. If there's no evidence to be given, then there's no case.
Yeah. Try telling that to the prosecutor.
He seems
to want to go through with it. All right.
We went through this with a mom that was trespassed, and the cop claimed in his report that he warned her, and the body cam disappeared. But the public defender requested it. And it was found, and it didn't match the report. And not only that, I've seen this cop be biased against her, so I knew it was BS. And then in family court, the judge said, well, there's no reason why you can't get out of the car to go get your kid. And then not only that, but the abuser's attorney said the same thing. And they had the transcripts. So they had to drop the case. But it was just, these narcissistic psychopaths, it's just another thing to put you through. Another thing to put you through.
Right. And the thing is... You know, with the laws that they're trying to pass in Virginia about these farm use tags, the whole reason that they're doing
it is
just taking...
I have no idea what that is.
It's stupid. It's a problem with the legislation, and I'm working on it with a couple of delegates and a couple of other people around here that are just tickled to death to be dealing with my crap. There's a problem with the statute itself, and I'm working on getting that.
And how it's written, right?
Yeah, exactly. The arbitrary laws that they're not really supposed to make. It's essentially a law that is repugnant to the Constitution, and we all know what was his name? Don Marshall. He said that in Marbury versus Madison. A law that is repugnant to the Constitution is void, and that's why I also filed a constitutional challenge with our with our attorney general over here. So, like I said, I'm glad to see that
we have people like you doing what you're doing and
same to you.
Making it statewide, you know, or national. And because there are so many people that are lost and, you know, we look at this young mom, Narcus Bradley, you know, I knew her personally You know, I actually just got an email from her attorneys today, you know, letting us know she passed. Okay, well, we share her, a lot of us down here shared our stories to help her case. And this woman, this young mom, for 5 years out of her six years of this child's life, fought a battle and won in Supreme Court. 1% of Hague women or men win. 1%. And, then it goes back to family court, or they call it circuit court or federal court or whatever. And they're supposed to uphold Supreme Court's decision. Like, who is this monster murderer of a judge to go against the Supreme Court's decision? And it was unanimous. And this child is on the spectrum. New York is the best place for that kind of help. And I know that for a fact, personally. And, you know, this, the people he's, the family that he's with is all the family he knows. And you're going to take that child into an abuse, to an abuser. I don't know if you've heard any of the recordings I've posted.
Yeah.
But I posted one a couple of days ago that somebody sent to me and asked me to post. And it was, he's screaming and yelling, this animal, I don't have an animal. Animals are good. Evil monster. I don't even have a name for they're inhumane, screaming and yelling in three different languages to her, at her, and then he breaks glass, and you want to hand a kid on the spectrum that's only 6 years old, that doesn't know you, over to this monster? Like, how inhumane can you be?
It's just, unfortunately, all about the money. It's got to be. I mean,
and he says it in one of the recordings. He says, I have my connections with the lawyers and the judges in Italy and blah, 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 blah. I will get my son.
What a piece of
a
shit.
A day after she died, unfortunately, he was on a flight to America. A day after. A little coincidental?
You know, I have my own opinions on what happened there, but I'm sure it's still
her.
An ongoing investigation.
Yeah, but I knew her. My son stayed with her for a week and got very close to her. I mean, he's younger than her, but they both shared a lot of the same drama. And I had to just tell him this weekend. I held back from telling him for a week and a half. I didn't know how to tell him. And it was not pretty.
No.
And I knew her well. I mean, it's, you know, she fought. I mean, her whole life, her whole child's life, the last 5 years, like, she was not living. And I think about myself. And I think about so many other people that are just constantly fighting, and not living. Is that what we're here just to do? Not live, but just constantly fight?
That's not what we're here for at all.
No, it's not fair. And I know my own world. You know, it's hard to live when you have three kids. They're not kids, but, you know, young men home and dealing with their stuff, you know, and it's a battle. It's a battle. And, you know, I'm it's good that they're old enough. I can walk away and I can walk out of the house and I can do my exercise and do my walk and leave the situation if it gets out of control. And, but it's, the damage is so deep that the healing journey is going to take a long time. And that's what we want to prevent. That's what this whole conversation is. And that's what Family Court Awareness Month is to bring the awareness of the damage that is done when these people of the organization make the decisions that they make. And that's my take on Family Court Awareness. There's a lot more to it, but that's how I see it. My personal opinion is to bring awareness to what's going on the inside that people don't know. And that, do I believe that we're going to get laws put in place? I'm going to get trainings for a lot of these people? I don't know if that will ever happen. Do I wish it would happen and be implemented? Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
But
we got to keep pushing for it. We got to keep being loud.
We got to keep being loud. We got to show everybody what's going on. You know, it could be your next door neighbor. It could be someone you're friendly with. It could be somebody on your Facebook page, and you wouldn't even know because they're too scared to speak up, and they're dealing with horrific situation. You know, and people have to, you know, feel safe to come out and speak and find healthy places where they can speak and safe places where they can speak and get help. And because, you know, that's, I've given my show over to people who've come on anonymously because they have so much to say, but they're not allowed to speak. And it's like, therapy.
It is. I can definitely see it that way. Absolutely.
I mean, I'm yapping half the show. We have 2 minutes. So finish up. Tell people whatever you have to say. I apologize. I'm a big talker.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine. I just encourage everybody who's listening to go on Facebook and look for my personal page. You can find me. I'm under Cadence Harper. And you can also search for USA Family Court Class Action Team. And check out the pinned posts or the featured posts on that page because you'll find all kinds of cool stuff. You'll find links to all of the individual state groups, lots of news articles. There's a few people that post in there daily. We work with Michael Volpe. We've got a lot of really cool people. I know you know Marianne. We love us some Marianne.
Oh, Marianne's the best.
She's
hooked me up. Her and I are really close. Her publisher from her book is my right. Well, I shouldn't say anything. Is my publisher? How about that?
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she's awesome. Yeah.
There's a lot of really good people out there. David Graves, who I've been speaking to for the last month or so. I just got a copy of his book in the mail yesterday, well, this morning, so I'm excited to dig into that. It's called You Must Have Done Something, and there's a link to that book, and Marianne's book, Dismantling Family Court, and Greg Ellis's book, The Respondent. Those links are all on the USA page, so you can just use the search bar to search for those.
And in January, you'll have a link to my book.
Absolutely, and I will share it far and wide, girl. I got you.
It's a good book. It's a good book.
I'm excited to read it.
I mean,
really,
my ghostwriter I could never have written a book alone. Never. Whoever does, like Marianne, Marianne journaled throughout her whole thing, so it was a lot easier. But my book is way different. So, anyway, say your page one more time. I have to close out. We're past our. See how fast it goes?
It did go pretty fast, goodness. USA Family Court Class Action Team on Facebook.
On Facebook. And it's Cadence Harper on Facebook. And make sure your friends list is private.
I think it
thank you
is.
Again.
I think my friend
No, I'm
private, yeah.
I'm telling everybody out there. No, because you know, you don't want just anybody trolling your Facebook. You have no idea who's out there. We have There's so many bad people out there. We don't know who they are. And I don't want to live in hiding like Michael Volpe. You want to call me a whistleblower? I don't have that kind of power. But the truth. And, you know, I don't want to live in fear. And I'm not going to ever live in fear again. And I'm sure neither will you. So we all have to cover for each other and be careful. Thank you so much, Cadence Harper, for being a guest on my show. I'm going to mute you, okay? I appreciate you coming on last minute. Remember, everybody, it's Family Court Awareness Month. There will be billboards throughout the U.S., and it'll say Family Court Awareness Month and show a picture of a child who was murdered. And if you find it, reach out to Family Court Awareness Month group, Facebook group, and let them know to snap a picture, send it to them. They'll post it. They have a list of all the different places that they have them up throughout the month for the whole month of November. Thank you to Joe Cox for giving me this Blog Talk Radio time. Thank you to Charlie for helping me set up my show and pushing me out there to do the Never Give Up show. You could check out my website. Very soon, hopefully, we'll have my book information. And I'll have a blog up, www.thenevergiveupshow.com. I have an email address on there if you'd like to be a guest. I have a story to share. I'd love to hear from professionals. Thank you to my listeners, and please have a great night. And again, Thursday, November 2nd, 7 p.m., there'll be a Zoom link on my page, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, for our vigil for Narcus Bradley Golan, or Narcus Golan, whoever, any protective parent, men, women, friends, family that would like to be a part of it, please join us. Never give up and have a great night.
With a little perseverance, you can get things done. The battle-blind adherence that has conquered some. Nobody wants to know you're not. And nobody wants to show you how bad you're lost on your own. You can never surrender. And if you're back on him, you hold. You can never surrender. And when the night is gone, dark, you can't see.